Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Rajiv S. Khanna for immigration.com's National Offices of Rajiv S. Khanna, PC. Today is May 27th, Thursday. It's the community conference call. The participation here does not bind you to us as clients or us to you as lawyers. We are just doing this as a community service. The call is being recorded. If you do not wish your voice to be recorded or wish to hang up right now, this may be the right thing to do. Keep your identity confidential when you speak with me. There is no need for you to reveal your identity. This call is publicly available. If you want to ask a question and need to give a name, you can always make up a name. Okay? With that said, let me get started with the questions that I have before me. Zozo0000. Hello, Rajiv. If I were your client, what would you advise me to do? Currently on part-time H-1, which expires in July 2010. Green card sponsored by the same company. I-140 approved, 45 pending. The problem here is that the H-1 is part-time. If you go back to try to extend a part-time H-1, you should at least have a good explanation, of course, true explanation. How is it that you have a green card job, which is supposed to be a full-time job, and yet doing the same job, you are working on it part-time? Now, of course, the green card job and the H-1 job can be totally different positions. If you have a good explanation for this, H-1 extension is okay. But if you don't have a good explanation for it, you may have to talk to your lawyers. This can be a really problematic issue for you. You may want to consider moving on with an AC-21 portability, etc. That's what I would advise to you if you were our client. Next question is Itajuru. He went for an interview for July 1st based upon residence through wife. Used to have an H-1B visa 6 months after I got, went out of the country and got advanced parole, lost my H-1B visa, now I'm on personal leave. By the way, travel on advanced parole does not do away with your H-1. There is a memorandum on this called the Cronin Memorandum, Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N. It's on our website also. It's also in my blogs. So you can search for the word Cronin, and that will give you a lot of information. However, going on to your question, I've been waiting for my EAC. I think what you mean is an EAD, Employment Authorization Document. I guess you can also call it an EAC in the sense of an employment authorization card, but usually it's referred to as EAD. I think that's what you're referring to. I've been waiting for my EAD to go back to work. How long do you believe it'll take? Well, 90 days is what USCIS says they will take. I would certainly advise you to get your congressman involved if it takes longer than that, and or to also take an InfoPass appointment and go downtown and ask INS, local INS, to check on what the problem with the EAD is. At this point, since you only have a week left and the company will probably lay you off, you should definitely talk with your congressman's office and see if they can do something about it. Okay. Next question, Sai for GC. I'm posting this on behalf of my friend who is in India. Came to USA on B1, applied for 6 month extension. Extension never came through, still showing as pending. He stayed here for 6 months, then left. Can he come back? Well, the problem is this. That's a big problem. If somebody stays on a tourist visa or a B1 visa here more than they stay in their own country, INS or CBP actually can deny them entry at any time they come in the future. So if he has been here last year for almost a year, now he wants to come back again for a year, the fact that he stayed while his application was pending doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that he was here so long and now he wants to come in again. So he might not be allowed entry. As long as he has evidence that he filed the application and he stayed only till the date he had asked for as extension in the application, he should be fine. But if he wants to come back here after having stayed here for 1 year, it might not be a good idea. So you may want to wait a year, 2 years before coming back. Next question is Tanya. She has an H-4 visa. She wants to volunteer and open up a not-for-profit company's branch office to her home. He will receive nothing, no benefits, anything. The friend has no intention of applying for a working visa on her. For her, is there any issue? No, no, Tanya. In that case, I would not worry. And should you get something in writing from your friend? Yeah, you should get something that says exactly what you're saying here. All the things that you've said here are just right. You can go ahead and put them down that you're not expecting any benefit, nor will they ever do any work visa for you. I don't see any problem with you going ahead with that. Okay. Next question is DAME, EB-3 to EB-2 transfer. I'm on EB-3 I-485 pending. What does it take to transfer from EB-3 to EB-2 through my current company? It's a good question, and it's a complicated issue. Normally, if the same employer has another job that requires EB-2 type qualifications, they can start a green card for you under EB-2 category as an intended future job while you continue to work on EB-3 job. Once the EB-2 I-140 is approved, then the priority date from EB-3 can be transferred to the EB-2 I-140. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. When you file the EB-2 I-140, at that stage you can request for a transfer of priority date from the EB-3 to the EB-2 case. And then take the EB-2 I-140 approval and put it on top of your I-485 that's already pending, which is referred to as interfiling. Interfiling, okay? So can you do it through promotion? Yes, you can. I mean, that's something your lawyer should assess. It's not something I can talk about specifically. But generally speaking, it's certainly possible. It is also possible for applying for EB-2 through a different employer while you continue working with the current employer, as long as it is done in good faith. Are you eligible for counselor processing? So counselor processing does not make your process any faster. Just like 485 does not get processed until you have your priority date is current, the same thing happens with counselor processing. Until your priority date is current, you will not get any benefit from it. Next question, user local. Options for H1, H4. What is the significance of bringing one's wife on H4 as opposed to a non-dependent such as H1, F1 visa? From the point of view of marital discord, what you are worried about is that if we get divorced, will I have to pay her $150,000 because she's on a dependent visa? And my answer is no, sir, that's not the problem. The problem, alimony, comes not from your visa status. Alimony comes from the fact that you are married to her. Alimony is an incident of marriage, not of visa status. So if somebody is here on an H4 or on H1, it's completely irrelevant. What is relevant is, at least in my mind, what is relevant is that they are married to you. Okay? And it is very easy to port between H1 and H4. Of course, there are costs involved, which are filing fees and legal fees. H1 to H4 should not be any legal fees because you can do it yourself. But H4 to H1, certainly there'll be legal fees involved. Okay? So I think that pretty much answers your questions. Let me take a quick look. How easy it is to port. Yeah. Okay, I think I've clarified the issues. Next question is MAA. Recently, my green card was approved for me and my wife. Filed labor in 2005. 2007, filed for 485. Labor is filed. I appreciate your feedback. And recently, green card was approved for me. Okay. Labor is filed as associate degree plus 6 years later. You could not be approved in EB-2 category because if they are requiring associate's degree plus 6 years related experience, your labor cert does not qualify under EB-2. So I don't know what's going on. EB-2 is not for associate's level requirements in the labor cert. S. Chima, Sajjad says, applied for green card for both my parents. Fingerprints are done, interview scheduled. My mistake, I have been claiming them as dependents for the last 2 years tax returns. I think what you should do is you should get your tax returns amended. Get your tax returns amended. That's probably the best thing to do. Okay. You posted the same question twice by mistake. Next question is I-140 approved. NIW is approved, wants to move back to India. What is the problem? Well, couple of things I would think about. One is, was your I-140 approved through a specific employer or is it a self-filing? If it is approved through a specific employer, it certainly casts some doubt that there's a permanent job available for you, even though a permanent job is not required directly for NIW. What is required is for you to have ability to support yourself, which is through a job, and proof that you will continue to work in your own field, which is also through a job. So indirectly having a job helps a lot. So if you are moving to India until the priority date becomes current, if the I-140 was approved through a specific employer, you may need to have some explanation why you are leaving and if you really intend to come back to the same employer. If you'll come back with some other employer or you self-petitioned, I think that's fine. I don't think that's a problem. Hector 789, I have three questions. I have a green card. Now I'm laid off. If I take insurance through COBRA, see, COBRA is not government-sponsored, so taking COBRA, I do not believe, has any impact on your citizenship. So I wouldn't worry about that. Is there any restriction on where I can work? Not at all. Once you have your green card, you can work wherever you like. Okay. Now, one thing that I did not know is when did you get laid off and when did you get your green card? If the time period is less than a few months between the time you got your 485 approval and the time you got laid off, some questions could be raised. Just make sure you have evidence that you were laid off and you did not leave voluntarily. Okay. If I do a startup company, does that impact my citizenship if I have no revenue? No problem. You can do a startup company even if it has no money. Can I go to school? Sure, you can go to school. You don't have to work. You are basically a free person. Rohit Tadkar says, I recently graduated from university in LA, working on campus. Now I want to continue working there. My boss wants to hire me through a temporary staff agency. I have my EAD card and can work for any employer if the work is related to my field. How do I go about this? Where can I find such agencies in LA who deal with such situations? That's a tough question to answer, Rohit. You're asking me how can I find personal contact. You could try posting in all these various forums, and I'm sure somebody might be able to recommend somebody else to you, but I don't have any recommendation on how to find these companies. Next question, John McDill. John wants to know, he says, I'm currently on fifth year of H-1B. I-485 is pending more than 180 days, having valid EAD. I'm guessing your I-140 is approved, sir. If it is not, we might have a different set of issues. So if I-140 is approved, can I work full-time with EAD on a new job? Yes, you can. No problem at all. You don't have to have an H-1B, but it's usually better to have an H-1B because it gives you a fallback position in case your 485 is any kind of jeopardy. But if you don't want to or you cannot, then go ahead and join on EAD. That should be fine. Right, and once you have an employment verification letter from the new firm for a similar job description, that's really all you need to do an AC-21 filing. There is actually a lot of information on this on my blog. Okay, the contract I signed with my immigration attorney says that he will revoke I-140 if I quit or get laid off from... Well, the way I understand the law to be, if the employer revokes the I-140 after 180 days of 45 pending, it should not hurt you at all. Okay? And I would, if I were you, I would file an AC-21 letter before INS sends you a request for evidence. Okay? Rockon 321, H-1B transfer to company B, for whom I was working, got denied a month ago. Failed to prove employer-employer relationship. Company A has canceled the previous H-1B. I still have I-94 valid till 2011. You cannot use that. Once your H-1 has been cancelled, be mindful. I'm assuming that Company B filed for your transfer while your H-1B through Company A was still valid. If that were so, you begin to accrue unlawful presence upon denial of Company B's H-1. If you stay here for 180 days, you get barred from entering USA for 3 years. If you stay here 1 year, you get barred for 10 years. Bear in mind also, if you don't have status in the country, you can be deported anytime, even before the 180 days. And if you get deported, as I recollect, you cannot come back for 5 years. The notice that you've got that you can continue to stay on the previous I-94, that doesn't apply to your case. Don't use it. The appeal was filed. Well, first of all, I'm kind of surprised that an appeal would be filed, because an appeal takes so many months. It doesn't allow you to stay in USA. Usually it is just better to file a new H-1 rather than filing the appeal. If I were you, I would think of being outside USA. Now, if you have an I-140 in process with Company B, as long as they've got the intention to hire you and the capacity to hire you, and you have the intention to join them, it should not be a problem, okay, even if you have to leave USA. So I think refiling on an H-1B is probably the better option for you. AP-12345, I'm a Canadian citizen. I have H-4 status. Husband is on H-1. We are in AOS. I received EAD and AP. Still working using EAD. If I travel, should I come back using H-4 or AP? I think H-4 is better, but you could come back using AP. I don't see any big deal about it. If I come back on AP, the only thing I need to show them is my passport and my two copies of AP. Yeah, that's it. No other documents. H-4 has always been a breeze, but I read that coming back on AP may be more complicated. Well, it doesn't have to be. I don't see why. Even if there is a secondary interview, it's not that big a deal. But if you want to come back on H-4, that should be fine. As long as your husband is maintaining his H-1, there is no problem coming back on H-4. In fact, I prefer H-4 anyway. Next question is from San500. Her marriage was solemnized as a Hindu ceremony, but the marriage was not registered. She was on L1, then she changed to H1. Husband got his naturalization. Her question is, how do we prove our marriage? The easiest thing might be, and I don't know if this is a good option that you want to consider, especially if you're living together, easiest thing might be for you to just go ahead and get married again in USA. Apply for a marriage license, go before a court, get married, before the registrar of marriages, get yourself registered, whatever the local procedures in your state are, and get married under the judicial rules. And when you file for I-130 for yourself, make it clear to USCIS, this is very important, make it clear to USCIS that you were first married under Hindu law in front of a priest, but since that is so difficult to prove, you got married again under US laws on this date. Be sure that you disclose the previous marriage. You can put that in a letter if you like. Okay? So make sure you do that. I think that might be the easiest thing to do. But if you don't want to do that, you can certainly get affidavits from priests and parents, show copies of your pictures of your marriage, and if there were any marriage certificates, etc., marriage invitations, etc., show copies of that. Okay. I think getting married in USA for you might be a good option. If you were out of status for 5 months, that is not a problem for a spouse of a green card holder, spouse of a U.S. citizen. So it should not be a problem for the green card process. Okay. CSPA, I looked at your issue about CSPA. I'm sorry, I have no idea what the answers are. Every time somebody asks me a CSPA question, I have to review the law, because there are so many issues that keep changing with the government's changing interpretations. I would not want to answer this question. Next question is HAGOCEA 75, asylum. I have a valid green card and a state ID. Will I need a travel document? No, no. You need a Canadian visa, but to come back, all you need is a green card and a passport. Okay? Oh, you don't have a passport. I see. I have a valid green card and a state ID. Ooh, you should call CBP, and see if you need any other document. I think there may be something you need. You might need some kind of a travel document. Maybe like something like an advanced parole. Lack of passport could probably lead to that. So call CBP. They are pretty cooperative. They so far we've gotten very good information from them. And you can also call USCIS to confirm, the information that you get. I'm zipping through the questions fairly fast, it looks like, which is good. Next question is VG Rep. Thanks for, okay, my 45 wife's 45 petition filed at the same time. Both received EAD. Okay, then something happened to the wife's case. They refiled the 485. Now the questions are, the old EAD is still here. But, you know, if the 485 is rejected, so is the EAD. So, no, she should not use it for employment. She should apply for a new EAD. And not as a replacement, but as a new EAD. I do not believe the current EAD is valid because the 485 is denied. How do you get the fees back? You will have to communicate with the INS on this issue. Call the customer service. Next question is JAG. JAG wants to know about advanced parole usage. This is JV Mugunta. My I-485 priority date is November 1st, 2005. It is EB2 in India. Son and wife are going to India for 3 months. They have a valid APN H4. Wife is working on EAD. If 45 is approved while they are in India, while coming back from India to U.S., they will use AP. But if I-485 is not approved, should they enter with H4 or AP? Jack, I have always preferred H4, but, you know, she's using her EAD. It doesn't really matter. She can enter on AP or H4. As long as you're maintaining your H1, she can enter on H4 visa. But if she does not have an H4 visa or you are not maintaining your H1, let her come on AP. I don't see any problem. Jack has asked another question. My friend had applied EAD renewal before 6 months of approval. You see, EAD renewal, there is a, INS has said this in several meetings that they will not accept applications for EAD renewal except when they are made within 120 days of the expiration. So if I were your friend, I would probably want to apply again at 120 day time. Okay? That might be the best thing to do. Of course, call the customer service, see what they suggest as well. All right, very good. We got done in about 20-25 minutes, which is pretty good. Let me see how many questions I have that are left unanswered or somebody has any follow-up questions. I'm going to put you in question and answer mode. You can press You can speak with me by pressing *6. Only those people who have posted their questions first, please.
Rajiv?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Zozo00, the first question.
Yes, Zozo.
So your recommendation is not to renew part-time, but you said...
Yeah, I think we talked about it last time also, or a couple of times ago. I remember speaking with you, and I said my only concern is it puts your green card in jeopardy. Because let's say if you are working as a programmer analyst, right? Mm-hmm. And your green card is also for a programmer analyst. H1 green card for the same job. Why is it that you're working part-time when you're supposed to work full-time? Okay?
Okay.
If you have a good, truthful explanation for it, no problem. Extend your H1.
Okay. So you said to invoke AC-21. So is it with the same company or
no? With another company. I mean, if this company is not able to give you a full time job, it makes me very nervous.
Okay, if the company is giving me with the use of EAD, if I don't want to invoke AC-21 with the use of my EAD, can I still continue working with this same company part time or full time?
You could. I mean, first of all, AC-21 does not need to be invoked if you are working for the same company.
Right.
But somewhere along the line, if this becomes an issue, whether you were working full-time or part-time and you still want to work with the same company on your green card, you could have some trouble answering that question. You see my point? Why are you working full-time, part-time when you're supposed to have a full-time job?
Okay. Yeah, but full-time job...
Yeah,
is
Shankar.
Hang on. No, go ahead.
Yeah, full-time job is only after you get the green card.
That is true. But yes. You see, that is the law. But what does common sense say? Common sense says, if I offered you a full-time job, but I'm making you work part-time now, how come, what is the reason for that?
Right, I understand, yeah. So technically, but I can still work for the same company part-time or full-time.
Absolutely. Technically, you can. But as a practical matter, this arrangement could be questioned as being reflective of unavailability of a full-time job for green card for the company.
Right. Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Good luck. Shankar?
Hi, Shankar. Hi, Roger. This is Shankar. Actually, I posted a question under PG Web.
What was your question? Remind me of the substance of it.
This is regarding my green card petition is approved, but my wife got rejected.
I know your question. Okay.
Yeah, you are suggesting to reapply EAD, right?
New EAD, yes, sir.
Okay. So when we apply for a new EAD, we need to submit the copy of the old EAD or?
You should make it clear that 485 was denied. You can attach and make an attachment to that. Attach a copy of the denial notice also.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks for that information.
Hi,
good luck.
Let's go.
Harish, let's have the ladies go first. I'll come to you next, Harish. Ma'am, go ahead.
Hi, Rajiv. I'm in my ninth year of my green card processing.
Have you posted a question, ma'am?
Yeah. It's under the name BAME.
What was the question?
EB2.
Yes, I remember. Go ahead, please.
If I apply EB2 through a different company under good faith,
right?
Can I transfer my EB3 priority date to EB2 priority date?
Yes, ma'am, you certainly can. No question about it.
Okay. My priority date is March 2005. Since I'm in my ninth year, I thought, you know, after 6 years, the law changes or something like that.
No, there's no change in your priority date transferability.
Okay.
You can transfer it even in your 20th year, no problem.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Good luck. Harish, go ahead. Harishji? Hi.
Okay.
Hello?
This is Sajjad. Can you hear me, Rajesh?
Yes, Rajiv is my name. Go ahead. Who is this?
Oh, sorry. This is Sajjad. I have a post number.
Sajjad, I saw mom and dad problem. I told you to amend the tax return. Go ahead.
Yeah, so basically, if I go there with them for the interview, right, and let's say he doesn't ask me that question, and then, or let's see if he catches that, right, so can he deny the petition, or can he ask me to go for an amendment at that time?
Typically, they should not ask you to do anything, because let IRS know what the issue that they spotted. I don't know if they do it as a practical matter. But Sajjad, I would be very, very uncomfortable with having any kind of tax problems in my background, if I were you. ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਲੱਗਦੇ ਹੋ ਵੈਸੇ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਤੁਸੀਂ
ਮੈਂ ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਹਾਂ ਜੀ
ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਲਹਿਜ਼ਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਨਾ ਬੜਾ ਦੂਰੋਂ ਪਛਾਣਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਸੋ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਮੇਰੇ ਵਾਲਦ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਨਾ ਕਿ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਟੀਂਡਾ ਅਤੇ ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਹੈ ਨਾ ਦੂਰੋਂ ਪਛਾਣਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਜੀ ਕਿਸੇ ਵੀ ਚੀਜ਼ ਪਾ ਛੱਡੋ ਸੋ ਨੋ ਆਈ
ਥੋੜ੍ਹਾ ਫਿਰ ਚਾਰ ਸਾਲ ਮੈਂ ਜਾਣਦਾ
ਨਹੀਂ ਆਈ ਵੁੱਡ ਨਾਟ ਵਾਂਟ ਯੂ ਟੂ ਨਹੀਂ ਚਾਰ ਬਸ਼ਕ ਲੈ ਲਓ ਕੋਈ ਗੱਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਰ ਆਪਣਾ ਨਾਲ ਨਾ ਅਮੈਂਡਮੈਂਟ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਵਾ ਦਿਓ ਪਿੱਛੋਂ
ਅੱਛਾ
ਅਮੈਂਡਮੈਂਟ ਦਾ ਪ੍ਰੋਸੈਸ ਸ਼ੁਰੂ ਕਰਵਾ ਦਿਓ ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਵੀ ਵੀ ਆਰ ਐਕਟਿੰਗ ਇਨ ਗੁੱਡ ਫੇਥ
ਅੱਛਾ ਠੀਕ ਹੈ ਲਾਸਟ ਕੁਐਸਚਨ ਡੂ ਆਈ ਮੀਨ ਬਹੁਤ ਹੀ ਚੈੱਕ ਕਰਦੇ ਨੇ ਡਾਕੂਮੈਂਟ ਸਾਰੇ ਆਈ ਮੀਨ ਟੈਕਸ ਦੇ
ਯੂ ਨੈਵਰ ਨੋ ਚੀਮਾ ਸਾਹਿਬ ਯੂ ਨੈਵਰ ਨੋ ਵਾਟ ਦੇ ਆਰ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਚੈੱਕ ਇਟਸ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਬੈਟਰ ਟੂ ਡੂ ਐਵਰੀਥਿੰਗ ਰਾਈਟ
ਐਨੀਵੇ
ਉਹ ਤੇ ਵੈਸੇ ਵੀ ਮਾਸ਼ਾਅੱਲਾ ਪਾਕਿਸਤਾਨ ਤੋਂ ਹੈਗੇ ਉਹ ਤੇ ਵੈਸੇ ਹੀ ਬੜਾ ਘੂਰ ਘੂਰ ਕੇ ਵੇਖਦੇ ਨੇ ਪਾਕਿਸਤਾਨੀਆਂ ਤੇ
ਚਲੋ ਠੀਕ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਫਿਰ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਫਰਕ ਕਰਦਾ ਫਿਰ
ਗੁੱਡ ਲੱਕ
ਹਾਈ ਰਾਜੀਵ
ਹੈਲੋ
ਯਾ ਆਈ ਹੀਅਰ ਅ ਲੇਡੀ ਟਾਕਿੰਗ ਯੈਸ ਮੈਮ ਗੋ ਅਹੈਡ ਪਲੀਜ਼
ਦਿਸ ਇਜ਼ ਟਾਨੀਆ ਹੇਅਰ ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਆਸਕਡ ਯੂ ਅ ਕੁਐਸਚਨ
ਯੈਸ H4 ਟਾਨੀਆ ਆਈ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰ ਯੋਰ ਕੁਐਸਚਨ
I think you missed it that I'll be working for a non-profit firm but it's actually a profit making LLC
it doesn't really matter non-profit or profit making as long as you are working on it on a voluntary basis not getting paid anything, not getting any benefit out of it, you are fine. Actually, if you go to my blog, there is a very detailed article on this, can H4 people volunteer for work?
Right. So
just follow the guidelines there. I think you'll be fairly safe.
Okay, and is there any document that I need from the LLC, like especially when there's an inspection, any audit comes in, I need to have any proof documents to provide that I'm not gaining any gain, like monetary gain?
There is really nothing that should be in hand, but it's better to have, I told you that also, that whatever you have said in your posting, if you can summarize all of that in one letter from the company, that should be fine. Now, basically, you know, you're working without any expectation of any benefit. They don't intend to process any visas for you. You're doing it out of the goodness of your heart. I think that's fine.
Okay, so it's perfectly fine to let my friend open up an office in my house?
From immigration law side. Now, if there are any local laws against having a commercial enterprise going on through a private residence, that's something you can check with the county.
Okay. And another option is, can my husband who is on H-1, will he be allowed to start an LLC or be an active partner in the LLC when he's already on H-1?
Not on a for-profit, no way.
Not for a for-profit.
No.
Neither can be a passive, like an investor or something.
Passive investor. Don't confuse the term passive investor and active investor. These are very important terms under immigration law. This is my guess. I've never seen anything in writing on this. My guess is, if you are a passive investor, okay, if you're a passive investor, you should not have any problem with the H-1 because you're not engaged in employment.
Yes.
Think about it this way. If I invest $100 in IBM stock, I can't just walk into IBM headquarters and say, hey, you guys, move over. I am now going to participate in the management of IBM.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that, right? In other words, there is a large distance between investment and control.
Mm-hmm.
When there is such a distance, I think you are safe. However, when the distance is shorter, for example, in a smaller company, or when you actually start participating in the management or in any way start controlling the company, you've now moved into the realm of unauthorized employment. For example, instead of doing a $100 investment in IBM once, you know, and then just leaving it there, what if I start doing day trading? I think day trading could be unauthorized employment. That's my guess. I mean, I've never seen anything from USCIS that says yes or no. But if you start day trading, it becomes, because you're so actively involved in buying and selling stocks, it could be said that this is unauthorized employment.
Yes.
So the answer to your question, can he be involved as a passive partner? Yes, but remember, passive means hands off.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Rajiv. It's been great help for us.
My pleasure. But remember, this is my opinion.
Yeah, no problem.
There is no law on this. As far as I can tell, this is the way it should be.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Hello.
This is Dame again.
Yes,
ma'am. I just have one follow-up question to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
How does my EC work if I transfer my EB-3 priority date to EB-2 priority date under different companies?
You can actually have a green card going through both companies.
Oh, so it won't be dropped with the first company?
You want to, you can. You don't have to.
Okay. So I have to ask for a transfer while my approval of 140 or when I apply for
140. Madam, why are you getting into all these logistics? Let your lawyers take care of that. Okay? The bottom line is you can have both green cards going. Don't worry about the logistics. Lawyers will take care of it.
Okay.
All right?
Hello, Ita Juru.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Ita Juru. The second question.
Yes, sir. Go
about,
ahead.
The parole, and what it is I had my H-1B visa good until September this year.
Mm-hmm.
My company would renew.
Right.
But and then I consulted a lawyer, and they told me, "Oh, you're already married. Because I have to go out of the country this year." And if you renew your visa when you go back home, they're going to see that you're married to a citizen, and they're not going to renew your visa.
Okay, now that was very bad advice. Don't ever go back to that lawyer.
And I already have set up the date to renew my visa. The company has already set up all the papers. So what I did is, he told me, just apply for your green card for your marriage, because you're married. And then I did apply.
You see, sir. What I would have told you, if you had asked me, I would have said, look, getting married to a U.S. citizen has absolutely no impact on an H-1. H-1, L-1, these are some of those visas that are immune from any of these problems. So what you should have done is, when you were in your home country, you should have applied for an H-1 visa and come back. In any case, if you re-entered USA using advanced parole and started and still continue to work with the same company, there's a very strong argument that you are still on H-1B, although you entered on using advanced parole. And I said, look at the memorandum called Cronin Memorandum, C-R-O-N-I-N.
C-R-O-N-I-N.
C as in Charlie, R-O-N-I-N. Just go to my blog and type the word Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N.
Uh-huh.
It'll pull out a memorandum written in 2004, I think, by Michael Cronin, who was an INS officer. That memorandum is good to this day. All the law there is still good. Memorandum says, if somebody travels outside USA, but of course, they have said it in the context of employment-based 485, but the law should be the same. Let's say you traveled outside using advanced parole, never got H-1 visa stamped, came back, and continued working with the same company on your H-1, Cronin says you are still on H-1.
Okay, because the company lawyer told me because they want to see some documents of mine, and then I told him, well, we don't need to renew anymore because I am married for citizen and I'm already applied. And then he told the HR that I'm not allowed to work, that I'll be work illegally until I receive my work authorization. And I didn't know. I thought I could work because I have the H-1.
When does your H-1 expire?
In September.
You can still
year.
Work. Take the Cronin memorandum to the lawyer and say, look at this memorandum. You are still on H-1.
Okay.
You are still on H-1. What's the problem?
Okay, because he told me that my H-1 was canceled.
If the employer canceled it is different, but just because you re-entered on advanced parole, H-1 does not get canceled.
H-1 does not get canceled.
No,
okay.
No, take the Cronin memorandum to them.
Okay. All right. And then, and then he said that I couldn't work until I get my...
No. You're on H-1. Don't let anybody tell you differently. You're on H-1.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm just waiting for my work authorization, just think forever to arrive. I've been without work for about 30 days, and then my company won't give only until tomorrow, so...
No, you should be okay. Look, the problem is immigration laws are so complex. A lot of lawyers, unless they are practicing immigration law exclusively and have been doing it for a long time, they can give you bad information. You've just gotten bad information from two different lawyers.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay, I'll try to contact the company lawyer and I'll see what I can do.
Good idea.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck to you, sir. Hi, bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hi. Hello, Rajiv.
Yeah, folks, please don't talk amongst yourselves, please. Don't talk amongst yourselves, please. It's very disturbing.
Rajiv.
Hang on one second. Let me put everybody on mute. Hit star 6 again, okay? Just one second. Press star 6 to talk with me, please.
Hello, Rajiv.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Tom Zubair.
Rajiv? Guys, one at a time, please.
Rajiv?
This is very confusing. Give me any name so that I know who to call on.
User local?
Zubair. User local, go ahead, please.
Yeah. I had to put in a question about H-1 to H-4 conversion and back. So does that mean I have to pay the visa fees, that is the $2,000 filing fees with USCIS, which I want to
Whatever
to
the fees are, they have to be paid every time, yes.
So it's basically a fresh petition application every time.
You have to excuse me, I have not filed myself an H-1 in almost a couple of decades. My office can answer this question better for you. I'm the law guy. I don't do procedures. I don't do logistics. But whatever the fees mentioned on the INS website are, you have to pay them every time, yes, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, Rajiv?
Yes, sir.
Zubair?
Yes, sir.
I came to U.S. through my dad, asylee. So
I'm going to have to put you on hold for just... Are you one of the posted people?
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to put you on hold, Zubair. Anybody else who has posted a question?
Yeah, this is Ma, M-A-A.
Yes, Ma, go ahead, please.
Yeah. I had initially filed for... I've been employed for more than 10 years with the same company.
Mm-hmm.
But
your green card got approved, huh?
Yeah, the green card got approved, and I have the labor certification in my hand.
Yeah, this is an EB3 labor cert. Look, I'll tell you something. the good news and the bad news. The good news is, once approved, USCIS is very unlikely to go back and reopen it. Very unlikely. Once 5 years have passed, it's almost impossible for them to reopen. Okay? The bad news is, if they do reopen it, they will basically put you back into waiting queue.
My EB3 priority date is January 2005.
So you filed your labor cert in 2005, right?
That's right.
And so was it January 2005?
January 2005, yes.
So your priority date is current now, right?
Well, EB3 is not current. EB2 is current. But I'm not sure if I'm EB2 or EB3.
No, the description that you gave me, Ma, it's definitely EB3.
Okay, but my, I have a bachelor's, 5 years of experience.
No, that doesn't matter. It's the language of the labor certification that I'm focusing on.
Yeah, the language says on
associate. The moment it says associate, you're EB3.
Okay,
now here is what I would recommend. You've got two options.
Mm-hmm.
Either point out to USCIS that they might have made a mistake.
Okay.
Or sit tight and do nothing and take advantage of your green card. But if you're smart, I want you to stick with the same company, same job at least for a while.
Now, the problem is my H-1 expires in February of 2011. Now, should I renew it or not?
Oof, very tough decision.
Yeah.
Sit tight or do something. Look, it's a very tough call, but if it was my case, my own case, or one of my family members, I would probably go back to USCIS and point out the mistake.
Yeah, because I'm all legal and I don't want to,
what I would do is I would send a letter to registered mail as well as contact them through the customer service, etc.
InfoPass
also not a bad idea.
Okay. And what happens if they say that that's okay?
If they say that's okay, great. Enjoy your green card. Have fun.
Okay.
Just make sure you make a note of what they said, the date and the time they said that, and who you spoke with.
Okay. I have another question. My wife is traveling this summer to India. She has already got an AP. She's on H-4.
Don't do anything until you've resolved the situation.
Okay. So she can use the AP, though, right, to enter?
I don't know.
It's been approved before the GC was approved.
You see, this is the way I would deal with it. If she still has a valid AP,
and
she has a green card approved as well, obviously she's one or the other. So if she's got both of them, they have to let her back in because either she's a green card holder, and if she's not a green card holder, then she's an AP holder.
Okay.
So I think she's okay. But if possible, if AP is not valid when she enters, I think she should sit tight until you've got the situation resolved.
Okay, now, is there any option I can apply for EB2?
What is your degree now? You have a bachelor's, 3 years or 4 years?
It's actually 3 years, bachelor's.
And do you have a master's after that?
I'm doing my master's currently, and I'm 5 courses away from getting my master's.
Yeah, once you get your master's, you should certainly look into it.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, and one question I have, EAD. My EAD was approved, but since I'm on H-1, I cannot work with any other company on an EAD, right? I have to stay on H-1.
If you go on to EAD, then you are no longer an H-1. So you can use an EAD to work for more than one company. That's not a problem.
So if my I-140 is approved, my I-45 has been approved. Let's say if I want to do two jobs, can I do two jobs, one on H-1?
I don't see why. No, you can't do two jobs, one on H-1, one on EAD. You can do two jobs on EAD.
And then it will get automatically renewed every year or every 2 years now.
EAD does not get automatically renewed. You have to file for it.
Yeah, I mean, I can always renew as long as the I-45 is pending. Like, let's say if I go back and...
Yes, sir, you can.
And there is no way they can deny the EAD as long as that 485 has...
There are many ways they can deny EAD, but I've never heard of an EAD being denied when there is a valid 485 pending.
Okay. I appreciate your service and your answers. Thank
My
you.
Pleasure. Good luck to you, sir. Anybody else who's posted a question, guys?
Hi, Rajiv. This is Rockon 321.
Yes, sir. What
regarding the denial because of employer-employee relationship.
Right, right.
And so is it essentially like out of status right now? Is it
out of status as well as unlawfully present, both?
Okay. And so the suggestion is what? Just leave the country.
Leave the country. Let's get another H-1 process for you. That's the right thing to do.
Okay, and
waiting for an appeal is kind of silly in my mind.
No, I mean, I thought that's what my employer told me before, but I spoke to him yesterday and he was like, actually, they, what we call motion to reopen is what...
Yeah, motion to reopen is okay. That's fine.
Okay, so can I stay in that case?
No, you can't stay. None of these things allow you to stay. MTR or appeal, none of these things allow you to stay in U.S.
Oh, so it's essentially from the time it's been 40 days since this happened, so...
You see, it's a very delicate decision because if you leave, then you have to go apply for a visa and come back once the H-1 is approved. But if you stay, you're deportable. It's a delicate decision. Just get with your lawyer, see how strong the case is. If the case is strong, I would let you wait for the MTR to be decided.
Okay.
But if the case is weak, I'll probably send you out.
Right. Okay. But otherwise, as a law, we should not be.
No, as a matter of law, you are deportable.
Okay. Hey, another question I have is with regard to I-140. And so I just received an RFP on I-140 from the same employer.
I saw that.
And the RFP is like they ask for certificate of birth.
No big deal.
Okay, but the thing is, I was looking at your forum and few of the people suggested is, if the certificate of birth is not issued at the time of the birth, then they might ask...
Absolutely. Certificate of birth must have been registered at the time of the birth.
Right.
If you register in 2009 or 2010, that birth certificate is no good. You are better off getting a certificate of non-availability from the local municipal corporation and attaching two affidavits from your family members who know when you were born.
Okay, and they should be like 10 years older to me?
Doesn't have to be 10 years older. It can be mom, dad, older brother, older sister. Anybody who was, this is the way INS looks at it, anybody who was alive when you were born.
Okay. So, and what is that certificate you call non-availability certificate?
Non-availability certificate. There's no particular format for it. Sometimes it's just a handwritten letter saying no record was found.
Okay, yeah. And usually who issues that? I should be getting that back from
wherever
the country.
Wherever you born.
Okay. Where were you? Some municipal.
Yeah, where were you born? That's what I'm asking you.
Okay.
I'm asking you a question.
It was in Hyderabad, India.
Hyderabad. It will be the local municipal corporation of Hyderabad.
Okay. Thank you, Rajiv.
You're welcome. Good luck. Folks, anybody who's posted a question? Zubair, go ahead.
Hi. I came to U.S. through my dad's asylee, so I'm dependent asylee for my dad. So I came when I was 13. I'm like, it's been 6 years. Okay, so I have to go back to India because emergency. So I went to get my passport renewed, and they said they won't give it to me because of the asylee status.
There might be some issues. Let me explain to you. First of all, I don't do any political asylum, so I don't want to give you any wrong advice. But it often becomes an issue when a political asylee who doesn't have a green card wants to travel back to the
country. I have a green card.
You have a green card.
Yeah,
please double check with your lawyers. I don't think it should be a problem. But if you don't have a passport and your country of birth doesn't want to give you a passport...
I have a passport. It's just expired.
Okay. And why did they not want to renew it? Because of your asylee status, right?
Yeah. And they said I asked for a six-month passport, emergency passport. They said they'll give it to me, but they will inform the U.S. government and the Indian government, and they will cancel my asylee status.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm concerned about. But if you have a green card, the question is, do you still need to follow that procedure? It's beyond my expertise. My work is almost 100% in business and professional immigration, employment verification. I don't want to give you wrong information today.
Okay, and then, even if they did, will it affect my dad getting a citizenship if my...
No. How could your travel have any effect on him? I don't see how.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Good luck, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Folks, anybody else?
Raju, I have one question.
Please came
to U.S. in 97 on F-1 visa. In 99, I got H-1 and... I went to Canada for getting my visa stamped, but they didn't approve my visa in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
But I came back to U.S., transferred H-1 to another company, applied for green card, and I got my green card too now. So if I travel outside U.S. With my green card, will there be any issues?
Let me ask you this question. You said they did not approve your visa. What was the reason?
They said it's a small company. We don't.
But it wasn't based upon any fraud or misrepresentation or any such thing.
No.
Okay. When you re-entered USA, basically, you were not asked whether you had applied for a visa.
I drove through the border.
They didn't. The INS officers did not ask you any questions about your entry.
No, I mean they.
Okay.
They never made
any misrepresentation. What's the problem? Sure.
Okay.
You're fine.
So if I have my green card, I can go outside the country.
Yes, sir. I don't see any problem with it. Completely rest peacefully. I don't see any problem that you should have because of the Canada denial. That's all in the past now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Rajiv, this is Kumar here.
Yes, Kumar. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Rajiv. My I-140 was rejected. On my education base.
Three-year degree?
Yeah. Huh. And with, when we appealed it and it was approved last, three months.
Oh, very
back.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you, Rajiv. My question is, in my LCF or green card, it was mentioned as a 70K that I would get paid.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not maintain that salary. I was getting paid only 60K.
LCA, are you talking about the H1 now?
I'm talking about the labor certification.
Yeah, see, labor cert salary does not have to be paid to you until you actually get your green card.
Oh, okay.
So what you need to worry about is H-1 salary, which is on the LCA.
No, that is being maintained.
You have no problem as far as the salary payment is concerned.
Okay. My second question is, now I-140 is approved after the denial.
Mm-hmm.
And in case I change my company, from your blogs and immigration, your portal,
mm-hmm.
I do understand that I can carry forward my priority date of my labor.
Correct.
But how does it happen for the I-140? The new company again will have to apply for that?
Yeah, the new company will have to start your green card all over again.
Okay. So, what do you suggest? Is this I-140 again? There may be same issue, or do they?
Well, what do I suggest? What is your priority date?
It's in 2007 May.
Okay. And you're getting a much better job offer somewhere else?
And the job offer is not what I'm getting good, but having some troubles with this company. They are getting smaller day by day.
Okay.
And now they are left with only a couple of people.
I think it'll be a good idea for you to move along.
Okay.
And I think it'll be a good idea to, before you move, your 6 years of H-1 are over, right?
Not yet over. It would be over in after 7 or 8 months.
Okay. Yeah, just go ahead and get your H-1 approved for the new company.
Okay.
Okay, get your H-1 approved. I'm wondering if you can get a 3-year extension now. See, if you apply after a couple of months, you should be able to get a 3-year extension of H-1.
With my current company?
With any company.
Okay.
Because of your I-140 having been approved.
Okay.
Get your H-1 approval for 3 years, then move.
Okay. And my last question, right now I just need to wait and watch the priority days, or is there anything?
No, you can't do anything other than that. You can wait.
With any documentation, I mean to say. Do I need to keep anything ready?
No. Just wait, watch, and pray.
Okay. I know it's a very difficult question, but everyone wants to ask, What do you expect? How long, say that for 2007, how long it may be current,
I always tell people, especially people who are from India, they understand it very well. In India, we have these parrots who act as astrologers.
Okay.
You remember how they pick up cards? They give them cards and they can tell your destiny. That's what I need. Maybe a parrot can help. I can't help. Yeah, one has to be an astrologer. I really don't know the answer to your question.
Yeah, Rajiv, and really appreciate your call and your, you know, the forum. I believe, like me, a lot of people are saving a lot of money, and it is really a great help to come.
Well, we enjoy it. It's really not my forum. It's your forum. We've just made the room for you.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Yes, my pleasure.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Aita Juru again. Very quick. Maybe I didn't explain well. My visa was expired. However, the petition, like for the work visa, only would expire in September.
Let me ask you a couple of quick questions, okay?
Uh-huh.
Your H-1 I-94 for this current company, when does that expire?
September.
Whatever I said is true. Visa doesn't matter.
Oh, okay, because if I was just going back just to renew, they would give me for 4 more months, and then, you know, just until the
let me explain to you what has happened. Okay,
mm-hmm.
What has happened is you were working merrily on your H-1 with the same company.
Correct.
You got married, still no problem. You got married, you traveled outside on advance parole and came back on advance parole and worked with the same company. Under the law, as I understand it, you are still on H-1. No question about it.
Okay.
I understood your situation.
Okay.
I'll tell you something. I had a consultation on yesterday only. This gentleman told me he wanted 1.5 hour of my time.
Okay? Uh-huh.
And I said, look, you really don't need that. We can talk over the phone. No, I want to meet you personally. He traveled from California, paid me 1 hour, 1.5 hour ahead of time, which is about $1,000. I was able to discuss his whole situation with him in 8 minutes. 8 minutes. So really, when you have been doing what I have been doing for so long, I understand the situation in 2 sentences. I know exactly where you were. I know what happened. Okay? I already saw that in your posting. I could see that you had been misadvised.
I'm here the Cronin Memorandum.
Cronin, C-R-O-N-I-N, Cronin Memorandum.
Yeah, I'm reading here, or right in front of me. I found it here. It's actually, the revision was on March 14, 2000. And,
it's still good law. There's no change in the law.
So I'm going to try to talk to the lawyer in the company and forward you to him.
So show them the memorandum and say there is a lawyer out in Washington, D.C., and you can play this recording for him if you want, that says that Cronin Memorandum is still good law. The only question is where the advance parole is based upon relative-based rather than employment-based petition, does Cronin Memorandum say that the H-1 gets passed over? And the answer is still the same. I think there should be no problem. You are still on H-1 as far as I'm concerned.
Yep. Okay. Otherwise, I have to ask my company to wait a couple more weeks until I get the work authorization because...
Or look, you have another very good option. Just take a drive to Canada, get your H-1 visa stamp and come back on H-1 visa.
Yeah, that could be something. As if I knew, the problem is like the holiday now. I could have done that, definitely.
You could have done
now
that a long
I
time.
Know.
So it's okay. I think you're going to be just fine. I am fairly certain, and I'll be happy to put it down in writing if the company asks me for a written opinion, that it is my opinion that you are still on H-1 status.
Okay.
And therefore, you can be employed without any negative repercussions on the employer.
Yeah, because they put me on personal leave.
It was unnecessary. It is unnecessary. You should go back to work. I'm sure you are tired of watching television all day.
Oh, yeah. I'm just like... because... And then, you know, they told me I was illegal. And then I'm like, I'm not illegal. I'm, you know, then I proved that I was not illegal. You know, because a lot of people don't have the right information.
No. Nothing wrong with your status. Also, you can always contact your congressman's office and tell them to please help you expedite DEAD.
Uh-huh. And what's the easiest way to get contact my congressman, do you know?
Actually, do me a favor. Go to immigration.com and just type the word congressman. And
okay.
Third or fourth entry from the top on the search tells you exactly how to do it.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you so very much
for your
help, and it's been great. Thank you.
My pleasure. Good luck to you. Folks, are we all done, everybody? Very good. Good talking with all of you. Thank you for being here. Bye-bye.